Captain Ahab, Jason and his Argonauts, King Arthur's Knights of the Round Table, Dorothy, the Cowardly Lion, the Tin Man and the Scarecrow. What do these have in common? They're looking for something. Ahab for the great white whale, Moby Dick. Jason and his Argonauts for the golden fleece. Of course, we know Arthur's knights in search for the Holy Grail. And Dorothy and her crew looking for the wonderful Wizard of Oz. What are you looking for? Now, this question is replete within artistic expression among us, around us, from early times. Music, you can probably think of songs that have to do with searching, with longing, with looking for something. Of course, a few off the top of my head that as I thought about this were "I've Been Searching So Long" by Chicago, the Chicago Transit Authority. A really terrific song, which is aptly called "Searchin'" by Lynyrd Skynyrd off their album "Gimme Back My Bullets," which if you don't have, buy it immediately. It's terrific. Or maybe you still haven't found what you're looking for, like U2 and Bono. It's also the literature I talked about is a little bit older, but it's within contemporary media as well. From, I believe it was the 80s, the movie Field of Dreams, a searching for peace, for resolution, even for heaven, or the movie Lost in Translation, which is terrific, Bill Murray and Scarlett Johansson, about two people looking for love, for meaning, as they're both in Japan. Watch that movie, Lost in Translation. In John's Gospel today, Jesus' first words, these are the first words we hear him speak in the Gospel, are in the form of a question, and it's an ordinary question, but it has extraordinary significance. What are you looking for? It's a universal question. Many times in our life, maybe it's an unspoken question. And much too often, I believe it is an unexamined question. Now, you know I do this from time to time, but the English translation of our Greek here does seem to obscure the meaning a bit. What is translated for us, "What are you looking for," is better heard as "What are you seeking?" That there's more gravity to it, not the same thing. What are you looking for? Well, I could be looking for the pencil that I misplaced. It's not that big a deal. I'm just looking for something routine. What are you seeking? There's more gravity to the question as it comes to us in the Greek language. What are you seeking? What do you need? It's a question well worth wrestling with, not only as individuals, but as a congregation or community of faith here at St. Paul's, indeed as communities in Edenton, nations. What are you seeking? It's important because our answers have a great deal with what we will find, as well as the journey that it will take us to get there. What are you looking for? What motivates you? What is it that you really need? And not just on the surface, but deep down into that core of your being. Those things that you ponder late at night, in the dark night of the soul. Those things that you ponder when you're alone on the pier looking at a sunset and suddenly there's more gravity in that moment than you can even verbalize. What are you looking for? Now, each and every day, the answer to this question bombards you by the thousands. What are you looking for? Well, you're looking for a new car, and Matthew McConaughey says it should be a Lincoln. CarMax frankly doesn't care what kind of car you buy, you just need to get the car from them. Perhaps you're looking for a bite to eat. Well, Jeff Foxworthy beckons you to the Golden Corral, or you can run to the border, or you can have it your way, but nobody out pizzas the Hut, right? You can squeeze the Charmin, taste the Rainbow, get bacon-flavored treats for your dog, you can drink the same beer as the most interesting man in the world, and you can feel secure and reassured that the Fonz is perfectly fine with reverse mortgages. Right? Y'all know the Fonz? I know there are some in here that don't know the Fonz. Y'all need to go back. Hey, you need to go back and watch it, guys. Make sure your children know who the Fonz is. It's part of their maturity. It ought to be part of the catechism, right? We should know who the Fonz is. From underwear to orange juice, credit cards to beef jerky, and Ginsu knives to lipstick, corporate America wants to tell you what you are looking for. Let me read you something from the author to the book of Ecclesiastes, which is found in our Old Testament. I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks, planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools from which to water the forest of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had slaves who were born in my house. Also had great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any who were before me in Jerusalem. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and of provinces. I got singers, both men and women, the delights of the flesh, many concubines. So I became great, and I surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil, and this was my reward for all my toil. Then I considered all that my hands had done, and the toil I had spent in doing it, and again, all was vanity and a chasing after the wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun. What is he telling us? He's telling us that stuff from the stuff mart never really satisfies. You can gather all the stuff you want, but there's always another hole to fill with different or better or additional stuff. But you and I know this. You didn't come here today to hear me tell you that. You know this. The interesting thing is, although we know this, we know that stuff ultimately doesn't satisfy us, it's amazing how we still fall prey to its allure, don't we? If only I could do this or get that. But even so, deep down below the surface in that core, we know that there's something more. And so do these two disciples that we encounter in John's Gospel. For their part, they want something different than the crowds. They want to be with Jesus. He's got something that they're looking for. And in what seems to be puzzling, they answer Jesus' question, "What are you seeking?" with a question of their own. "Where are you staying?" I don't think that would have been my first response. I'm not sure the way you hear that or read it, but that seems odd, doesn't it? What are you looking for? Where are you staying? Am I the only one that thinks that's a non sequitur? I mean, it seems weird. But again, the English tends to obscure the significance of this phrase. The Greek word for staying here is meno, and it means to remain, to abide, to continue, to dwell in the sense of permanence and stability. In other words, we are looking for something that endures, that remains and does not fade away. We're looking for meaning without the luster being lost. What are you seeking? Later, Paul, in the book of Acts, is in Athens, and he's debating with the philosophers there about God, and they're excited to hear his new teaching, and they invite him to speak. And Paul addresses the men of Athens this way: "I see that in every way you're very religious, for as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' Now, what you worship is something unknown. I'm going to proclaim to you." So Paul's saying, in other words, I'm going to tell you who this unknown God is. He continues, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands." Paul says God did this so that men would seek Him. What are you seeking? Paul says God did this so that men would seek Him and perhaps reach out for Him and find Him. Though, he concludes here, He is not far from each one of us. In essence, Paul tells them that God does not live in temples or in statues or idols, but in the hearts of men. People were created by God to seek God. Now, 400 years later, we have a bishop named Augustine, and he's going to speak along these same lines. In his most famous book, which is an autobiography titled The Confessions, the third sentence in the book says this: "Lord, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in you." The human hearts, our hearts, are restless until finding rest in God. Almost like God has specifically and specially designed a place in which to fit. A millennium later, Blaise Pascal will say something similar. What else does this craving and this helplessness proclaim but there was once a man in true happiness, of which all that now remains is the empty print and trace? This emptiness he tries in vain to fill with everything around him, seeking in things that are not there the help he cannot find and those that are. Though none can help, since this infinite abyss can be filled only with an infinite and unchangeable object. In other words, God Himself, Pascal concludes. People have an emptiness inside which most of us try to fill with things, everything around us, but only God will fit exactly. So each person, as it were, you may have heard this phrase, has this God-shaped hole or this God-shaped vacuum, which we often look everywhere to fill with thrills and entertainment. You know, I've said this before, it's the Johnny Lee song, right? Looking for love in all the wrong places. We look to fill this hole, this seeking, this longing, each and every place we can find, but our searching is in vain until we quit looking horizontally to the things and the created stuff of earth, and we look vertically to God. In our culture, which is dominated by the acquisition of things, where a search for meaning can supposedly be satisfied with stuff, this exchange of questions between Jesus and his would-be followers provides an opportunity to explore the answer. What are you seeking? Where do you remain? What are you seeking? Where do you abide? What remains? This is our journey at St. Paul's this year, 2017. What are you seeking? Where is it to be found? And before we run ahead of ourselves, we're sitting in a church, and the answer to the question of where is it to be found, even the youngest of Sunday school students can answer. Where is it to be found? Oh, I know. In Jesus. Correct. However, the answer is Jesus, but most likely not in the way that you expect. Because as we unpack this question, what are you seeking for? I believe sincerely, firmly, that you will discover that there's more to you and more to Jesus than meets the eye. What are you seeking? Amen.